MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting now with Johan Els. He is, of course, the chief economist at Old Mutual. Johan, always appreciate the early morning. Your mid-year sort of update on the state of global and local economy. Let's start sort of offshore and U.S. U.S. inflation, that is perhaps one of the concerns around tariffs. But you make the point that actually weaker growth might limit some of that second round impact. And, does that mean that perhaps we're going to start to see some rate cuts coming through from Jerome Powell and his team at the Federal Reserve?
I think so. Not imminently, though.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the U.S. economy is downshifting a little bit weaker and lots of uncertainty around policymaking on top of previous slowing. So further slowing in the labor market, further slowing in consumer spending. So yeah, I expect the U.S. economy to slow towards year end. And I think there might even be recessionary-like conditions later on. So the Fed has always proven itself to be very reactive when they see that kind of environment.
Mm.
Even if inflation is still under pressure from tariff hikes, that slowing in the economy will certainly limit second-round inflationary impact. And the Fed will then, in my opinion at least, start thinking about cutting rates later this year into next year. So I think broadly, the consensus is that rates will be cut significantly further. When I say significantly, probably not that much, but around 100 to 125 basis points by this time next year. So I think that is certainly on the cards.
Okay, and that is, I mean, moderately chunky from their regard. What about dollar weakness? And when we think dollar weakness, we always compare it to the czar, which is probably not fair to the dollar. But certainly, if we look at it against the Europe, and you probably in your PowerPoint, you've got a chart that you were using earlier in the year than what's happened sort of since to April. We've seen massive dollar weakness against the euro. This is part of President Trump's policies, likely to continue in your mind?
Yes, I think so. So investors are deeply concerned about the uncertainty around policymaking, you know, the on and on again, off again tariff. And then the one big, beautiful budget bill act, that mouthful that will certainly drive up debt in the U.S. So investors are very concerned about this safe haven status of investments in the U.S.
Mm.
So that has been behind that weaker dollar. And I think there's more to come. And I see lots of forecasts out there that suggest maybe the dollar might test some of the previous weaker levels against the euro. So that certainly spells good news for the rand's move against the dollar, of course, and other emerging market currencies as well, because these emerging markets relatively stronger growth.
Mm-hmm.
And when investors are sort of iffy about investments in the US, they would rather go towards emerging markets. So the type of a risk on trade there as well.
Yeah, 100%. Globalization, you make a really great point as well. You say it's not retreating, it's recalibrating. Globalization is not going to go away, it's just going to look different in the years ahead.
Certainly, and I think where people have been concerned about these protectionism policies from the US, I think free trade outside of the US will continue. And then gradually, I think US consumers will go on demanding cheaper import prices. They want those cheap fridges and TVs from offshore. So I think this is a hiccup in terms of free trade, and certainly only a slight hiccup in terms of globalization, because with technological advances, tourism, etc., there are lots of issues around globalization that I think will just strengthen globalization going forward.
If we bring it back home, you talk around South Africa improving growth trend. We've done 1% for the last decade or more. You say that can shift to sort of 2.5% to 3%. You make the point that the growth we really need is around 5% to 6%, and that is highly unlikely. But there certainly is indications that we can at least get to that sort of 2.5%, 3%, which we so desperately need as an economy.
We certainly need that, and we certainly, I think we're on our way there, given that the private sector is taking up a far bigger role in the economy. So we're making some headway, perhaps too slowly, but at least we are making some headway in terms of those structural constraints we've had in the economy. Electricity is the big example where lots of private sector investment has happened. I think gone are the days of stage six load shedding on a continuous basis. We might have some hiccups here and there, but that has been improving. The private sector's role in Transnet's logistical operations, in water supply, in the electricity grid. So all the jobs that various government departments, but especially Operation Vulindlela, is doing in easing this process. I think we're heading that direction. But as you say, I strongly think that we're never going to get towards 5 or 6% on a sustained basis. There might be a year or two, but not on a sustained basis, because the big, big structural issues there, we're not doing anything about. And that's the skills deficit and the overly regulated labor market. So those are big constraints that nothing is being done about, compared to the other structural issues in terms of electricity and water supply, etc.
Yeah, the chart page 18, I almost fell out of my seat, and I mean that sincerely. You reminded me that in the October 2020 medium-term budget policy statement, government debt as a percentage of GDP was forecast to 95%. We have held below 80. The forecast is certainly trending down. The question then: are the rating agencies behind the curve on us? Because we're still two or three levels into junk. We don't seem to be getting any of the perhaps benefit from the improvements. I know we've had our the outlooks moved up, but I mean, should we expect some perhaps moves from our rating agencies in the near term?
Yeah, absolutely. And coming back to that 95% forecast back in 2020, that's always the perspective that I believe is important in economics. And again, the ratings agencies' views of where our debt to GDP ratio will sit in terms of their forecasts when they last assigned these current ratings. So they're behind the curve, in my opinion, and with slightly better growth. Growth is a big issue for ratings agencies. We're moving in that direction. And yes, I think we've seen the bottom of the rating cycle and that we should head upwards. So I think we'll see more positive outlook statements. Moody's and Fitch, for instance, S&P is already there. Some of these things take some time, but I think within 2 to 3 years, we can expect upgrades. And probably within 4 to 5 years, we can get back into investment grade on the back of this improving growth trend, on the back of that debt to GDP ratio ongoing easing lower.
The last question, which everyone's interested in, you mentioned consumer spending being improving since beginning of last year. The data's all moving in the right direction. My question then is, what about local inflation? And perhaps the bigger question is, are we going to see more cuts from the MPC through the rest of this year?
I think there's a window of opportunity here for another rate cut the end of July. The next MPC meeting is 31st of July. So another rate cut. But I also now assume in all my forecasts that we'll actually get an announcement on the lower 3% inflation target before the end of the year. So I think rates then move sideways after the July cut, and then sideways perhaps for an extended period of time, until then we see inflation settling at around the 3% mark again. Because we have to remember that the normal cycle is for it to start drifting up very slowly, very moderately towards the end of this year and into next year. And then it has to drift down again. So nominal rates sideways for some time before we start to see rate cuts again by 2027, 28, in line with that lower inflation number. So lower inflation target, absolutely great for us as consumers, good for interest rates, and far more benefits than negatives.
We'll leave it there. Johan Els, Old Mutual's Chief Economist. Always appreciate the awesome insights. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.